Slender, shiny, and carrying the emotional energy of a soulless guard of a magic prison, the Dementor Wasp floats through the insect world like a tiny HR nightmare. This isn't a creature that rushes, panics, or gets its hands dirty. This is a creature that plans. With surgical precision and the patience of a chess grandmaster, it turns chaos into compliance and free will into merely a suggestion. But sometimes, it's better to work smarter, not harder, like the Dementor Wasp here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you would like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about the only fish that would shoot a guy in the back. We'll have more on that later.
But would they shoot a guy with glasses? That's the question.
Seems so.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the rat fish. Have some cheese, rat. It's a Bugs Bunny reference.
We just got done talking about a rat, and we're right back in the rat games.
I know.
In the rat race.
Back in the rat games. Yeah, but I did a Bad Bunny. Bugs Bunny just did the Super Bowl, so I figured I'd do a Bugs Bunny.
Bugs
reference.
Bunny just did the Super Bowl. I totally forgot the Super Bowl was happening until my pastor mentioned it, and I was like, "Oh yeah."
We had a Super Bowl party. We had a lot of fun.
And then he said the moral alternative was Kid Rock, and I was very confused.
I know. Yeah, you can.
No further questions.
Sophie's choice there. Yeah, we did not seek out. Here's the thing about halftime shows. They're always terrible. It's just, I'm watching sports, not... Well, I didn't come here for a concert, so I definitely didn't go seek a different concert. I just got snacks.
Endured the first one.
I did what you're supposed to do during the halftime show, and that's get more buffalo dip.
I thought you're supposed to do that during the game. In between commercial breaks.
No. Commercial breaks are not good. I don't care that is an important thing to the Super Bowl now. I don't care about the commercials. You're going to see it 60,000 times after the game.
I just want to see Doritos versus Geico, please. Who's going to win the commercial war?
That's the future of football. All the team names are going to be sold to corporations. It's not just going to be stadiums.
They can all wear it like NASCAR.
Washington shouldn't
things.
Instead of changing to the Redskins, they should have just changing from the Redskins to something else. They just should have sold the team name to the highest bidder.
This should have just been Washington 3M or something like that.
I love it.
Washington 3M versus the Philadelphia Procter and Gamble. Yeah.
Philadelphia Flyers.
The spotted ratfish is also called the spotted chimera, the Pacific ratfish, or the ghost shark. But we're going to call it here forehead fangs and the headgear horror.
Nice.
Maybe the headgear horror picture show, but I have seen that movie, and I don't.
Neither have I.
I don't want to hang my hat on it because I think it's weird.
Your hat would fall right off. It's too weird.
Yeah, you can't put a hat on. Was it Tim Curry? He's in it?
I think he wears lots of hats, actually.
You can't put a hat on Tim Curry. It's impossible. They tried. That's why he doesn't wear a hat when he's a when he's the concierge in Home Alone 2. Do you have any? It's almost April. Do you have any taxonomy for us?
Taxes? I sure do. It is taxonomy season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time.
Bring your 1099s.
Turbo taxonomy. That should have been the name of this segment.
Turbo taxonomy. I like it. No, nope. Everyone wants turbo taxonomy, but no one wants booster.
The cuts are getting deeper. We're mining at this point.
Yeah, yes.
The kingdom is Animalia. You know it, you love it, you're in it. The phylum is Chordata. Class is Chondrichthyes. The subclass is Holocephalae. The order is Chimeriformes. Chimeriformes. The family is Chimeridae. The genus is Hydrolagus. And the species is Calliae. Hydrolagus Calliae.
Yeah, these are relatively related to sharks in the same class, yes. Chondrichthyes, but then after that they completely split off.
Chimera is its own thing. It's a close relative of sharks and rays and belongs to a very old lineage that split off from sharks to make its own way in the world.
Yeah. Chimera is not what I would use. I mean, maybe a little bit. But, yeah. Just as like an idea of a bunch of animals mashed together as a chimera. It doesn't really give...
No.
Give it that, but...
Unless you're like, is that just a bony fish or a shark? And it's like, it's kind of both. Oh, that's a chimera. It's too... It's not as stark as a lion with a snake tail and a goat's head.
But right. You know. Yes, that you would climb on its back and stab it in Dragon's Dogma. Okay. I have found new research...
Hold on, new research? You're doing research right now? You're finishing the research?
Okay, so I
cite your sources.
All right, so Calliae is a person's name. However,
Colby Calliae.
It does mean something. So.
So it will be nothing to do with this animal.
So we're going to go by what it means. So like I did look up the etymology for this, but then after doing some research, I was like, oh, Calliae is just named after the guy who found it, which is just it. That really grinds my gears, boils my blood when I find out about that, because then I can't do my nitty gritty nomenclature as easily. But Calliae, I-E-I. It does mean something. So, regardless of the fact that it was named after Alexander Calliae, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Hydrolagus Calliae? So it's still true. Like, what is the English translation for this? But, you know, obviously the true answer is that the species name is just this guy's name. But what does this guy's name mean? We're breaking this all the way down to English. So what does Hydrolagus Calliae mean? Does it mean A, lake water ghost? B, heavy ocean spine? C, collared water rat? Or D, black water rabbit?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Give me them again.
Lake water ghost, Heavy Ocean Spine, Collared Water Rat, Black Water Rabbit.
Collared Water Rat. Is that...
That was one of them.
Lagus. What is that word? The first one couldn't possibly, based on everything you just said, it couldn't possibly be that. It's too perfect. Hydrolagus does sound like water lake. But it's Largo in Spanish. No. Wait, what is it? Is it Lago? Is lake? Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. It's just Lago. But how could this man's name be Ghost, you said, right? The first one?
Lake Water Ghost.
Lake Water Ghost. Which would mean ghost is Kalei, which would be very, very fortuitous. But who is this person's name? Alexander Kalei. It's the rabbit one. I am on the Wikipedia page, and it's the
first
part.
And you just read it.
It's in the first paragraph. Why is the etymology in the first paragraph?
Because they are fellow languophiles.
I thought Lagus. I thought you knew that Lagomorph was rabbit, and you knew that I knew that, so you threw that in there.
I forgot that Lagomorph is rabbit. I just thought of lake immediately.
Dang. What's the opposite of outsmarting I outsmarted myself. So I would have chosen maybe that one, maybe another one, but I wouldn't have chosen the first one. And I probably wasn't going to choose the rabbit one. So, if I'm being honest.
So what? Collared Water Rat or Heavy Ocean Spine?
None of them were ringing true. Maybe I would have chosen the Lagomorph one. That's the thing. I can use my brain to decipher the words that sound familiar to me. But I also know that those words are familiar to you. And you know they're familiar to me.
So if I know that you know that you, but I know you know that I know, and I know that you know that I know. No, but yeah. So like if we were really to put on our thinking caps here, hydro is not Latin. It's Greek for water. Mm-hmm. And so the second part of that word would also be Greek, and Lago or is Latin for lake. So within one word you'd have a Greek and Latin put together, not very common. So what other if you knew that the Lagomorphs were rabbits, then that would be the obvious choice. It's a water rabbit, water hare. And then Kalei comes from the Gaelic term for black. Or coal black specifically.
Hmm.
So it is interesting when, like, so within one word, you probably aren't going to have multiple, like, language origins like that for the nomenclature, but within the whole nomenclature, you have with the genus name being Greek and then the species name being Gaelic. Interesting, but I mean really the species name is just this guy's name, and this guy's name is Gaelic, so
yeah. Do you know like the like English Irish word for a miner is a collier?
A miner's a collier?
Collier, that's what a miner, it's a word for miner.
Oh, a miner. Yeah. Yeah. And Alexander Kalei, can you guess where he's from?
Ireland?
Oh, no, that's Celtic.
It's this Gaelic. Scotland.
So he's from Scotland, yes. land of the Scots.
He was also a colonel surgeon. A colonel.
That's just what doctor, a barber, surgeon, colonel, surgeon. He was just, he was a Renaissance man because that's what you had to be back then. Soldier
spy.
Yes.
I can see the rabbit. I can see the rabbit. Do you want to know what it looks like?
I can see the rabbit too. Yes.
It's kind of got a rabbit like head shape. I can kind of see why they called it that. It's vague. It's a vague rabbit resemblance, but it's there. People call it the ghost shark because it has these big eyes, big black eyes, like a doll's eyes, a tapering tail like Casper, and a silvery brown, sometimes white or light colored body covered with bright white spots that give it a spooky look.
Bright white spots are the spookiest kinds of spots.
Yeah. They're orbs. They're like plasma orbs.
Ectoplasma. Ectoplasmic yeah. orbs, yeah.
You can kind of see its shark kinship, but a quick look might just come off as some kind of fish. Its base colors can range from dark gray to light gray to tan to brown. So maybe that's why it's called Chimera, because it's a fish with a rabbit's head. That's what they think.
I guess, yeah. It's a shark rabbit. I think we're overstating how much this looks like a rabbit. It kind of sort of does if you squint. It looks
it's
a lot more like
head
a
shape.
There's the sailfin catfish, like the Pleosthenes or whatever it's called. This looks like that.
And I used it to does. I see catfish. Yeah, there's catfish vibes as well. But anyway, that brings us to the blood measure up segment, the listeners part of the show. The part of the show that's presented when we it's the part of the show when we present the animal's size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal and Carlos has to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show. What was growling there at the end?
I have no idea what I just listened to.
It's a trailer. He said, brought this horror
into the world.
Yes.
Now we gotta put it back.
You gotta put it back. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. I can't even grasp at straws here. Is it? Nope. I don't know. I got War of the Worlds on the mind right now.
That is the acclaimed film from 2013, Ghost Shark.
Acclaimed film? Is it one of those like Jaleel White, giant shark versus mega octopus or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's not critically acclaimed, but I'm sure acclaimed by some people.
It's the same people that acclaimed Sharknado 5.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's very acclaimed.
Yes.
I should have spotted the camp. That
yeah, you could hear
these
the
movies
camp.
Reek
yeah.
reek of
California. Famous for endless freeway construction zone. Has a famous and iconic traffic cone littering its highways. This 3 foot long fish, 2 to 3 feet, 60 to 90 centimeters, is exactly the same height as a California state traffic cone.
Sure. True. 3 feet. 3 feet seems final about. Answer. Wait, are you talking about a? Like, there's one specific famous traffic cone, or no, this no, is no. just like the Bob's Barricades of California.
The Bob's Barricades of California. Yeah, like there's a cultural, like, it's probably a lot like South Florida, where it's like it's always under construction.
It's just 595. It's just always.
People like to talk about it.
Yeah, sure. Unless these traffic cones are unique, then they're probably also 3 feet tall. So we'll go with true.
The correct answer is true. Yeah, they're 36 inches. 3 feet.
That is a good height for a traffic cone.
If you ask me. It's an ideal height for a traffic cone.
Yeah.
Okay, so they typically weigh 2 to 4 pounds, around 1 to 2 kilograms, though especially large individuals can be a bit heavier, but we'll go with the upper end of average being 4 pounds. We got, you can, if you like almonds, that a lot of them grow in California, they soak up a ton of water. Apparently, did you know that about almonds? They are famously thirsty plants.
What a waste. I don't what like almonds. Of all the nuts, they are the most tasteless. Give me cashews or pecans. Or walnuts any day of the week.
They're good if you put like a bunch of other stuff.
No, but like cashews are just good just all by themselves. Like you don't even need salt for cashews. You need salt for pistachios, and those are good. But like cashews just have a great natural flavor. Almonds, they taste like plastic. Unless you do something to them, so...
Never been a huge dude, fan tastes of like a tree bark.
But it's like chewy, like they squeak on my teeth as I eat them, and it takes a long time to eat them because they're, yeah, I don't know, cashews. I'm a cashew guy. I didn't know that about myself until this past year. So.
Well, we got nuts as a famous California almond brand. We got nuts comes in bags that are exactly the same weight as, I was going to say a catfish, this chimera, this spotted ratfish.
4 pounds of almonds. I'll say false.
False on that one?
Yeah, I think the almond bags are lighter than 4 pounds.
The correct answer is true, again.
Ah.
You buy it for $32.99 on Amazon.
$64,
4 pounds. Yeah.
For almonds.
For 4 pounds of almonds. Unsalted. Just straight tree bark.
You got to put something on those. Goodness, okay. That's a lot of money. Yeah,
we got, you could nuts. Also, but you can
That's
also
a lot get, of nuts.
Yeah. We got it nuts also sells 4 pound bags of other types of nuts.
Of better nuts?
Including walnuts. Sure, worse nuts.
No, I like walnuts more than
you do. That's even more tree barky to me.
Almonds.
You could buy a 5 pound bulk bag of dry roasted peanuts.
Brazil nuts are worse. I don't like those.
Yeah, Brazil nuts. You can buy a 3 pound bag of Brazil nuts. Oh my gosh, the 4 pound bag of macadamia nut, the best nut.
Yeah, macadamias are pretty good.
How much money that is?
$65.
No, $60. No, no.
Oh, wow. That was close.
No, wait, hold on. It's on sale. $51.99.
Buy them up. They're on sale.
It's literally the only one that's marked down.
Scalp them. You gotta scalp those macadamias. Yeah. Buy low, sell high.
All right.
Or just eat them. Buy low, eat low. You know.
Yeah.
That's what Warren Buffett always says.
Do you want to hear some fast facts before you get into the major fact?
Sure.
So guess where you're going to find the spotted ratfish?
California.
On the Pacific coast of North America, from Alaska down to Baja, California.
Baja Blast.
It is a Baja Blast. They usually hang out in deeper coastal waters, roughly 100 to 900 feet. That's really deep for the coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the continental shelf. Though they sometimes wander into shallower waters at night. They're bottom dwellers and feed on crabs, clams, worms, small fish, sea stars, yams, hams, potatoes, tomatoes. No, I mean, they use really strong plate-like teeth.
Yams.
They use plate-like teeth to crush hard shells rather than sharp shark-style teeth. Instead of separate dorsal fins like a shark, they have large triangular pectoral fins that give them a kind of slow, hovering flight through water. And their tails are long and whip-like. Males have particularly weird features, including clasping organ on the head used during mating.
That's my thing.
Oh, is it? Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. Spotted ratfish do have venom, but not super dangerous. They're not going to bite you with it. They have a venomous spine on the front of their dorsal fin. It's defensive only. They're not very aggressive, but if they're handled carelessly, the spine can cause a very painful sting and swelling with localized pain. It's not considered life-threatening to humans, but it can be extremely unpleasant. So you shouldn't be grabbing fish. If you don't know it, especially, don't be grabbing a fish you don't know. Get to know it.
Buy it dinner first, then grab it.
Buy it dinner first. Most fishermen buy dinner for fish before they grab it.
Yeah, and then they put that dinner on a hook.
Sometimes the dinner's fake, though.
And then they dip that dinner all down into the water, and then shenanigans ensue.
It's shenanigans. That's what the Scottish did.
Scottish term for fishing,
or whatever his name is, collie. But that's all I got for that. Do you have any big facts?
I do. I forgot to make a name for this fact. We'll call this major fact. My teeth are up here. So for almost all animals, teeth are strictly oral structures, which means they belong in your mouth. For the spotted ratfish, it's a little bit different. So as you mentioned, they already have different teeth from like a shark, which have a lot of very sharp replaceable teeth. The ratfish has these plate-shaped mineralized teeth that are good for crushing crustaceans and things like that. So that's all, you know, par for the course for a chimera. But spotted ratfish have a head structure called a tenaculum that flips the script on where teeth should go. I just went to the dentist yesterday, so I've got teeth on the mind. But not quite so much as the ratfish. Because the ratfish literally has teeth on its head. So it has this tenaculum is like, it looks like a tentacle. It's like a fleshy bit. But it does have cartilage. So it's not just flesh. And at the end of that bit, kind of like a like an angler, think of it a little angler lure. At the end of that are teeth. The white thingy sticking out of their forehead is toothy hardware. It's part of a specialized clasping structure, and it is used by males during mating, which solves the, you know, the age old problem of how do I hang on to my date. how to lose a guy in 10 days, you know? That problem is solved when you can actually take a tentacle that's sticking out of your forehead and bite down with teeth onto your lovely lady friend. It is a little weird, but so is the Animal Kingdom. They know that they're real teeth because, and not just like hardened bone or the things that sharks and rays tend to have, these denticles. This is the same cells that form teeth in their mouths are the cells that form the teeth on the tentaculum. And the tissue that these cells make up is called dental lamina. You and I have it. That's what helps us make teeth. And that's, sharks have it. These guys have it. But they not only have it in their mouths, they have it on a little appendage sticking out of their foreheads. And both males and females develop tentaculi. Tentaculums. We're going to go with this second one. But only males grow it out fully, and the only males garnish it with teeth. But yeah, I mean, there is a rule in marine life. When you see something that looks weird, it's probably doing something important. Like, why does that fish look like that? There's probably a good reason for it. Or it's either on the way in or on the way out. Like, oh, it's got eyes, but it lives at the bottom of the ocean, so the eyes are on the way out. Or, it's got this weird appendage full of teeth, and those are on the way in because drastically increases the spotted ratfish's chance of passing on its genetic code.
We must but, live yeah. by the code.
The code is the law. Mm-hmm. Keith Richards said that. A great man. Keith Richards. So this is one of the very, very few animals that have actual genuine teeth somewhere other than their mouths.
Genuine teeth.
Not something that looks like teeth, not just like, again, cartilaginous denticles or just hardened like bone, like ossified structures. It is literally it's tooth. Tooth and teeth.
It went to dental school. It is a tooth.
You really only have two options. You either become a dentist or a tooth.
Or you live long enough to see yourself become a tooth.
Become a tooth. You either die a dentist or you live long enough to see yourself become a tooth.
That's a ridiculous thing to say that can only be said at 11:45.
That's right. But isn't that the story of that guy, the guy who plays in The Hangover?
What? Oh, yeah. Ken Jeong?
Yeah.
He was a dentist and he became a tooth.
He is now a tooth.
Like a euphemism for a comedian.
Sure, yeah. Slash actor, but
yeah,
that's all I got. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, for you out there in podcast, yeah, that was the spotted ratfish. So skim the ocean floor. Hang on for dear life, and make sure to always, always brush your tenaculum teeth like the spotted ratfish here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
Oh, the tenaculum of it all.